If you had to describe the ideal man, how would you describe him? Don't get a mirror out. I'm not asking you to get a mirror out and look at yourself. How do you think the world, how do you think the world would describe the ideal man? What celebrity would they put up and say, he is the ideal man? You got an idea of who they're talking about? Do you have a favorite senator, favorite congressman? You'd say that's an ideal man. You're looking at me like, no, you had me with it. You had me with the celebrities, but senators, no, I don't know many of those that I'd say. And who is the ideal man in your mind in our society today? And after you think about that, I'll tell you, whatever you come up with is absolutely worthless. You want to show me who the ideal man is in our society that our world would hold up and say, here's who you need to be like. So scratch that part of the lesson tonight. Let me ask this question. Who would you say is God's ideal man? If you had to say, here is God's man. Here's who God wants men to look like, to be like. Who would you say it'd be? Now, if you were to start in the book of Genesis and start reading and go all the way to the book of Revelation, who would you pick out? And there's not a wrong, well, there would be a wrong answer to this. I mean, if you said Ahab or, you know, some of these other, that'd be a wrong answer. But if you're reading through the Bible and you say, here is God's ideal man, who comes to mind for you to say, this is the guy? This is the one that he's God's ideal man. Now, if we didn't have the scripture reading already tonight, we'd be all over the board. But we've already had a scripture reading, so now hopefully that gets your mind to thinking, oh, okay. Is it possible that God's ideal man was that guy that we read about in Matthew chapter 1 named Joseph? Could we look at him as God's ideal man? I want us to think about that tonight. I want us to look at some qualities about Joseph that every man, young and old, here needs to have, because it's what Joseph had. I want us to look at some qualities in Joseph tonight. And get your Bibles. We're just going to park in Matthew chapter 1. We're not even going over to the book of Luke. There's some things we could look at in the book of Luke about Joseph. We're not even going to do that. We're just going to park in these closing verses of Matthew chapter 1 and allow us to see some qualities about this man that every woman ought to want in a man, that every young woman ought to look for in a man, that every person in this congregation ought to be praying for, that our men in this congregation would be, that our young ladies would look for in a man. What is it about Joseph? What is it about Joseph that maybe we could say he's God's ideal man? I want you to think about some of these qualities, and we're going to look at some of these kind of rapidly. But the first thing I think we see in an ideal, in God's ideal man, we might not like this word today, he was a responsible man. Would you say that about Joseph, that he was a responsible man? You see, sometimes we look at Mary. We look at Mary sometimes, we say, of all of the women on the earth, God chose Mary to be Jesus' mother. Well, what about Jesus? Or what about Joseph? Mary did not raise Jesus by herself. Is it important for a young man, is it important for a boy to have a strong father figure? It's not just that God chose Mary to be Jesus' mother. It is that God chose Joseph to be the one who would raise the Son of God. You think he chose somebody responsible? You think he looked down and said, that's the man that I want to raise the Son of God? What a responsibility that was. Joseph apparently was not a slacker. Joseph apparently was someone that God could trust with the Savior of the world. I wonder if God were to look down today and try to find a responsible man who might be ready to raise the Son of God or to be given the charge of the Savior of the world. I wonder if he would look at any of us. Wonder if he would find a responsible man today. You know, God looked down, and Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 19, the Lord knows those who are His. And he knew Joseph. He knew who Joseph was. He didn't pick him randomly. He didn't pick Mary and say, well, I hope Joseph turns out to be a halfway decent guy. He picked a responsible man. And he said, that's who I want to raise, the Son of God. Gentlemen, we need to be responsible men. We need to be those that God would look at and trust with the greatest work on the face of this earth. But not only was he a responsible man, he was God's ideal man because he was a pure man. This is interesting. Look at verse 18. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus was as follows. Think about the phrasing in this verse. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child. You see, Joseph and Mary were a couple who refused to have sex before they got married. They were betrothed to each other. They were, in our terminology, but it's not the same. They were, in our terminology, engaged to each other, but it's not the same as an engagement today. We'll talk about that in just a minute. They were betrothed to each other. They were fixing to get hitched, okay? They're getting ready to be married, but they haven't had sex yet. Wait a minute, I thought you were supposed to do that already to find out if you're compatible or not. No. Joseph knew. Joseph knew that marriage is honorable among all. And what makes marriage honorable in the eyes of God? That the bed in marriage is undefiled. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 4. God looked down and saw a man who was of a pure life because he saw a man who was of a pure heart. I want you to think about that. He was God's ideal man because of decisions he had made in his life, of things that he had set out before him, that he's ready to be married. This is the woman he's going to spend the rest of his life with, but they had not slept together yet. Why not? Because they were not married. Because in the eyes of God, they did not have a right to do that. Gentlemen, it doesn't matter what culture we live in. It doesn't matter what's popular. It doesn't matter what things they're passing out at school in order to make this easier. God's will is for a man and a woman, for a boy and a girl, for a male and a female, to wait until they are married. And Joseph did that. He was God's ideal man. He kept himself pure. He's God's ideal man because he's a responsible man, because he's a pure man. But what does verse 19 tell us? Tells us that he was a just man. What does that mean? He's a just man. I want you to think about this. Joseph is engaged. He's betrothed, which is even more binding than an engagement today. You know anybody who's been engaged and then not engaged? Engaged again, not engaged. Engaged again. Oh, now they got married. Well, what happened to those first two? Oh, they just, you know, it just wasn't the right person. Betrothals back then were a whole lot more serious than somebody being engaged today. A betrothal was that part of the kind of the first stage of marriage. And it oftentimes would last for a year, but they were not considered married until that man took his bride into his chamber, into his home on that wedding night. But they're betrothed to each other. That means they have made a commitment already to each other that I am for you and you are for me and there is no other. And I want you to imagine being Joseph and you find out she's pregnant. What do? You know it's not yours because you've kept yourself pure. I want you to think about the heart of Joseph. I want you to look inside of this man. And here is a man who had a right. We use that word a lot today. Here is a man who had a right to take action against Mary. He did. The Jewish law was that here is a woman who has committed adultery in the eyes of God. What's supposed to happen under Jewish law? She's supposed to be stoned to death. Joseph has a right to make a public spectacle of this woman who has shamed him because he's betrothed to her, but it's not his baby. He's got a right to take action against her, but he doesn't want to. He does not want, and it depends on your translation. New King James says in verse 19, "Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make a public example of her." Some translations say didn't want to put her to shame, didn't want to disgrace her. Here's a man that when you read this, you can tell that he's torn inside. He's torn between, here's what the law says, that this woman ought to be stoned, but he says, no, this is my betrothed. This is my girl. I can't see that happening. And he's torn between those two things. I want you to see how serious a betrothal was when in verse 19 it says, "Then Joseph, her husband." They're already calling him her husband. Look in verse 20. "While he thought about these things, the angel said, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife.'" They're already being called husband and wife. They have not consummated that marriage yet. They have not been married yet, so that hasn't been consummated. So they haven't been together yet. But here's a man who loves this woman. And he knows what kind of woman she is. She's pregnant, but he's torn because she's pregnant, but he knows what kind of woman she is. I can't have her stoned. I can't have her stoned. And so that's why it says at the end of verse 19, he was minded to put her away secretly. That's different than people today, isn't it? We live in a world today where if somebody has made a mistake, we live in a world today, if somebody has done something wrong, what do? Hey, 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 everybody look over here. Everybody, I'm going to post this so that everybody knows what a shame and a disgrace this person is. I want the world to know what Mary has done to me. She ought to be a public shame to every person on the face of this earth. I can't believe. Do we live in a world like that today? Somebody does something wrong and we want to herald it for everybody to know. Not Joseph. Not God's ideal man. Here was a man that lived after Proverbs 11 and verse 13 that says, "He who is of a faithful spirit conceals a matter." He wasn't interested in heralding this for everybody to know about. Philippians 2 and verse 4 says, and here's what Joseph was living by a rule that said, "I not only consider my own interests, but I also consider the interests of others." What was in Mary's best interest? That's what Joseph cared about. You know what God's ideal man does? He considers what other people's interests are. He's a just man because he considers what should be done in a situation, not for his rights to be fulfilled. Well, I've got a right to this and I've got a right to that. If we continue to live in a world that says, I've got a right to do this and I've got a right to do that, we're going to destroy ourselves. Because it's not about my rights. It's about what good can I do to bring about the good that Jesus can do in this world. Joseph was God's ideal man. He's a pure man. He's a just man. And God's ideal man is a patient man. Not that guy. That guy was not patient. That guy was going really fast. Look in verse 20. Timed that just right, didn't he? He finds that she's pregnant. He's a just man in verse 19, not wanting to make her a public example, minded to put her away secretly. But verse 20 says, while he thought about these things. Isn't that interesting? He finds out his girl, he finds out his betrothed one, his love, is pregnant with somebody else's baby. He learns that. Doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure that one out, right? But the Bible says, while he thought about these things. Boy, that's not some of us. Some of us would just jump to some rash action and judgment and say, why did you? Some of us would hold her up for ridicule. Some of us might fly off that proverbial handle and have had her stoned. That's what the law said. Bring her and have her stoned. What if he had had Mary stoned? She would have died and baby Jesus would have died. But here's a patient man who learns what has happened, and instead of being rash, instead of being abrupt, instead of flying off the handle, the Bible said he took time to think about these things. Perhaps he knew Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 28 that says, the heart of the righteous studies how to answer. Wouldn't that be a good thing for us to do? Wouldn't it be a good thing for us to do to listen more than we talk? Let every man be quick to hear, but slow down your tongue. Slow to speak. You know, sometimes we need to realize that maybe we've heard something, maybe we've seen something, but maybe we haven't heard and seen the whole thing. When Joseph found out that she was pregnant, when he initially found that out, did he have the whole truth yet? He didn't have it yet. But he thought, you know, he thought he had the whole truth. He's got everything. He's got all the evidence right there before him. But he was patient. He studied how to answer. If we want to be wise, if we want to be God's kind of man, we need to learn to be patient. We need to learn to be patient. Is that easy? Does that take effort? Does that take practice? That was Joseph. He was God's ideal man because he was a knowledgeable man. He had learned some things. I want you to, you know, we think about sometimes how young Mary must have been. Well, how young must Joseph have been? Was he a young man as well? But there were some things that he must have known. Verse 20, while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, I want you to think about this. Don't read this too fast. Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived of her is of the Holy Spirit. Joseph, who? Son of, wait a minute. If you back up to verse 15, who is he the son of? Or verse, what verse is it? 15? Verse 16, who is he the son of? He's the son of Jacob. My daddy is Jacob. But what does the angel say? Joseph, son of David. Son of David? Who are you talking about? Son of David? No, my father's name is Jacob. Have you ever had somebody call you by your full name before? Did your mom ever do that to you? Call you by your full name first, middle, and last? And I've got a suffix. I'm the second. So when you get everything lined up, you know something serious is going on. Joseph, son of, not Jacob, son of David. Do you think that triggered something immediately in Joseph's mind? If somebody went back 27 generations in your history and called you the son of whoever, I mean, I've been called William Sproul's grandson. I've never been called Edward Sproul's great-grandson. Nobody's ever made that connection. But nobody's ever gone back 27 generations and said, David, son of, I don't even know who was, I'm the generation of 27 ago. You think that triggered something in Joseph's mind? Whoa, what's going on here? Why am I being called son of David? You think Joseph knew? Do you think he understood the connection between the son of David and the Savior that was going to come? But keep reading. That which is conceived of her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son. You shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, do you think this is the first time that Joseph ever heard this verse? You think Joseph knew this verse? You think the Jews knew this verse? Behold, Isaiah 7:14 is quoted here. Behold, can you imagine Joseph is hearing this? He's being called son of David, and now he's saying, behold the virgin. Oh, whoa. Can you imagine hearing that? Joseph hearing that word, the virgin, and he's making the connection. Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Can you imagine what was going through Joseph's mind as he heard these words? Do you think this was brand new information to him? Do you think he knew he was the son of David, but he's being called the son of David? Triggers in his mind. And then go all the way down to the end, and now this passage is being quoted to him from Isaiah, and the angel is saying, this is being fulfilled right here in your midst. What if Joseph didn't know anything about being the son of David? No clue what that meant. What if he didn't know Isaiah? This would have had no meaning to him. But the fact that this man must have known the Scriptures made all the difference in the world to him. Perhaps he knew Proverbs 15 and verse 14, where the Bible says, the heart of him who has understanding seeks knowledge. Why did God choose Joseph? Did Joseph know this? Did Joseph know that the day was going to come? Do you think he had any idea it was going to be him? You think he ever thought, well, I'm a descendant of David, so since I'm a descendant of David, it could be. You think he ever had, you think that thought ever crossed his mind? I dare say it didn't. But he knew that that day was coming. And all of a sudden, when the angel appears to him and speaks to him, he begins making these connections. But I want to ask you something as we move on to this next point. I want to ask you something. Joseph's betrothed is pregnant. And in a dream, he is told, take her to you because that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. Say, what? You said what? Yeah, right. Sure. What else are you going to tell me? Right. I'm supposed to believe that? He's not only knowledgeable. Here's a man who was trusting in what God said. He accepted what God said without question. Would we do that? He is just told that this woman who is pregnant is still a virgin. No, that's not the way it works, God. Let me explain this to you. He takes what God says exactly as God intended it to be. And even if this was something that was difficult perhaps to accept and to comprehend, in his mind, if God is saying this, this is the way that it is. Wouldn't we do well to be more trusting in what God says? Instead of questioning, instead of arguing, instead of pushing back, instead of saying, well, what about this, and what if, and what if, and what if, we just say, well, that's what God says, so that's the way it must be. Perhaps Joseph knew these verses from Psalm 119. Psalm 119, verse 42 says, I trust in your word. You think Joseph trusted in the word of God? Verse 128 says, all, how many of them? All your precepts concerning all things I consider to be right. If God said it, it must be right. So an angel comes and appears to Joseph in a dream. And he says, that's the way it must be. It absolutely must be the way. And we say, well, how do you know that Joseph was a trusting man? Because here's God's ideal man. He's an obedient man. Notice what happens. Verse 20 through 23 is all quotation marks. Verse 20 through 23 is the angel of the Lord speaking to Joseph. And you get down, by the way, look at the end of verse 23 where it says, he shall be called Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. You know how the book of Matthew ends? Great commission. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things and whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am. Who's speaking in Matthew 28? Jesus, lo, I am with you always. Who said that? Jesus, even to the end of the age. Well, who said that first? It's back over here in the beginning of the book of Matthew. He was going to be God with us. And at the end of the book of Matthew, Jesus saying, I am going to continue to be with you. And Joseph hears these words. And notice what happens in verse 24. Joseph, being aroused from sleep, What's the next word you have after sleep? Did. He took time when he first found out the information about Mary. Verse 20 said he thought about these things. He was being patient and he was considering these things that he had heard. But now he hears the word from God. And what does verse 24 say? He woke up and he did it. He didn't tarry anymore. He didn't wait anymore. If God said it, I'm going to do it. So he takes Mary as his wife and he calls Jesus. He calls the name of the baby Jesus. What do you think about that? The baby's not even born yet. The baby's not even born yet and he's giving him a name. Well, wait a minute. How can you give him a name? Had they had an ultrasound? Did they go in after a few weeks and do that ultrasound and find out if it was a boy or a girl so that they could know if they needed a blue nursery or a pink nursery? Had Joseph and Mary done that? They don't know if it's a boy or a girl in those days. Before this baby's even born, he calls his name Jesus. What does he do? He is immediately obedient. Look at verse 21. She will bring forth a son. And look what the angel says to Joseph. She shall bring forth a son. You, Joseph, that's singular, not plural. It's not saying you and Mary. It's singular. You shall call his name Jesus. The prophecy from Isaiah in verse 23. They shall call his name Emmanuel. So when you get down to the end of verse 25, he called his name Jesus. This was something that he was doing in obedience to the will of God. He subjected himself to what God said to do. Do you think Joseph ever was ridiculed at all? Hey, Joseph, why doesn't Jesus look like you, Joseph? Something not right there, Joseph. He doesn't look like you. Something's not right. Hey, Joseph, how come Jesus was born just a few months after you all got married? Something fishy going on here, Joseph, that you all weren't married, but then that just a few months later, something's going on here. You think Joseph ever was the subject of ridicule? He could have put Mary away. He could have had Mary stoned and rid himself of all of it. But that's not God's ideal man. He trusts what God says. He is obedient to what God says. Perhaps he knew Psalm 119 and verse 112. Perhaps Joseph lived by this rule: I have inclined my heart to perform your statutes forever. Maybe that's what Joseph was doing. God, I'm going to do whatever you say forever, no matter what. That's God's ideal man. The last quality I want us to see in this man is that God's ideal man was an honorable man. Was that verse up there? Well, now it is. Verse 112 in Psalm 119. Joseph was an honorable man. What do we mean by that? The Bible says that Joseph took Mary to be his wife. They were betrothed. The angel comes and says, go and take Mary as your wife. And they're married. Joseph goes and marries Mary. What do they have a right to do now? They've got a right to do what a husband and a wife are the only ones who have a right to do. They're husband and wife, and now they've got a right to do this. What do they not do? They do not do what a husband and wife have the right to do. Joseph and Mary practiced abstinence until Jesus was born, even though they were married. Well, why would they do that? Well, because there was a prophecy that said, a virgin shall bear a son. Well, she was a virgin and conceived a son. Isn't that good enough? That's not what the prophecy said. The prophecy said, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son. And Joseph was honorable to the point that he was not going to mess up God's plan. Even though he had a right to go unto Mary as his wife, he did not do that until after Jesus was born. And by the way, this doctrine that got started about the perpetual virginity of Mary is without any biblical merit at all. Keep reading the book of Matthew. Now, notice in this verse, that verse 25 says, he did not know her until she had brought forth her son. Well, what does that imply? That after she brought forth her son, he did know her. You keep reading the book of Matthew, and does Mary have other children? Certainly does, and they're even named when you get into chapter 12 and 13 of this book. And so here is a man who is honorable in the eyes of God in what he does, but he's also honorable in taking Mary, this woman who is pregnant, not by him, taking her as his wife and naming Jesus. Therefore, giving Jesus, as it were, a legal status. He's not an illegitimate child. I am going to give him a name. He is a child in our family. And while Joseph was not his biological father, he was known as the son of Joseph. As you continue reading through the book of Matthew, he's called the son of Joseph by a number of individuals. Joseph was God's ideal man. And I don't know if Joseph had a role model growing up. I don't know if there was somebody in the Old Testament that he looked back to and said, that's who I want to be like. But reading about Joseph reminds me a lot about this statement from the book of Job. You read this three times in the book of Job. That man was blameless. Was Job blameless? What about Joseph? And upright, one who feared God and shunned evil. I don't know if Joseph had a hero of the Old Testament, but he looks a lot like Job. Blameless, upright, feared God, and shunned evil. There's eight qualities about this man. Eight qualities that say, in this section of Scripture, here is God's ideal man. Can I ask every man in here tonight, is that you? Are you a man who is responsible and pure and just and patient and knowledgeable and trusting and obedient and honorable? Is that you? And if it's not, where do I need to change? Where do we need to make improvements? But as you notice these qualities, are these male-restricted qualities? Are these qualities that only men can possess? If this is God's ideal man, and these are qualities that made what God's ideal man, if we want to call him that, if these are qualities that made him who he was, would these qualities also look and say, here's God's ideal woman, if she possesses these same qualities? Young men, I challenge you to be like Joseph. God knows those who are His. I challenge you to be the kind of man that God would look down and say, there's another Joseph, just like that man 2,000 years ago. Young ladies, I would challenge you to find this kind of man. To find a Joseph, to find God's ideal man to spend the rest of your life with. Church, I would beg of you to pray for our young people. That our young men would be God's ideal man, and that our young ladies would find God's ideal man. But I beg of you to pray for all of us, that we would possess these qualities of a man that, you know, we sort of just don't talk about Joseph much. We talk about Mary a lot, but Joseph is just kind of a side character in all of this. Joseph was not a side character. Joseph was a man whom God selected on purpose to raise the Son of God and the Savior of the world. A lot that we can learn from him. Are you one of God's chosen? Are you one of God's chosen people? You can be one of his chosen people today. He can look down and say, that's one of my children. That's somebody who's done what I want them to do. Joseph heard what he needed to do, and the Bible says he immediately went and did it. Have you done what God wants you to do? The Bible says in order to become one of God's chosen, one of His children, that we need to believe that Jesus is the Son of God. That we need to turn away from sin Turn away from the wrong in our life. Say, I want to stop doing what's wrong. Start doing what's right. Repent and be converted that your sins may be blotted out, Acts 3 and verse 19. Confess the faith that's in your heart and be baptized for the remission of every one of your sins. Allow the blood of Jesus, it was talked about, Jerry talked about before the Lord's Supper tonight. Allow the blood of Jesus to wash away every sin you've ever committed. And then live faithfully to Him. If you haven't done that, why don't you do that tonight? Why don't you bring Christ, your life, give it to Him. Put it in His hands, be immersed into Christ tonight. Let Him wash away every sin you've ever committed. If you've already done that at some point in the past, but you've strayed from that path, and you don't have the kind of qualities that a faithful Christian needs to have, then come and let us pray with you and let us pray for you. Let us all become what God wants us to be. If we can help you get right with the Lord tonight, why don't you come right now as together we stand and sing.